Now, most of you may recognize that these verses open what has come to be called the Sermon on the Mount, which continues through the 7th chapter of Matthew. We typically hear the Sermon on the Mount or parts of it in our sanctuaries. And Pastor Tim occasionally recites the entire Sermon on the Mount from memory for us at FCC on occasion at and we read it at home. But the listeners who heard those words of Jesus as he spoke them were in a very different setting, surrounded by nature. They were sitting perhaps among the lilies of the field and saw the birds of the air that Jesus spoke about in his sermon. Some of them were already committed followers of Jesus, his disciples. Others were undoubtedly curious about this strange preacher who taught lessons unlike the scribes and other teachers. And this preacher was teaching something new, something powerful, probably shocking to some who may have heard part of Jesus' sermon as blasphemy. Several times he started a pronouncement with, "You have heard that it was said," with one of the examples being, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." He was trying to open his hearer's heart, not to the rules, but to the heart of the Jewish law, which was to love and serve God and neighbor as they would love and take care of themselves. And the blessings that he pronounced to begin the sermon that day on the mountain were not intended to be rules to follow, but to know and trust the blessing given in response to the events of a life lived in faith. Now, for a long time, I read these promised blessings, which are often called the Beatitudes, or sometimes we say the Beatitudes, as rules. I should become a peacemaker, for example, or similarly, to read them as actions to take, to become poor in spirit, whatever that might mean. By doing these things, then I would be rewarded, right? But as the years have passed for me and I have encountered the loss of my parents and other loved ones, I have learned what it is to mourn and to need that promised comfort. In places of broken relationships, I have felt called to be a peacemaker. Through these experiences, I think I have glimpsed what Jesus was teaching. The Beatitudes are not rules, but glimpses of how things work in God's realm. And the Beatitudes and many other teachings are promises that can not only improve our lives, but build our faith in a loving God. Thich Nhat Hanh's writings, somewhat in contrast, are not about building faith in God. He is not religious, and Buddhism, as we know, is a philosophy. But his writings teach about similar themes and promote practices that open up readers and practitioners to be present, to find peace and joy, and to support life in its fullness. During Pastor Mary Jane's first renewal in 2017, she visited Plum Village Monastery in France. Plum Village had eventually become Thich Nhat Hanh's home and the center of his teaching after he was expelled from Vietnam for his work for peace. During the 2017 congregational renewal time, some of us read and discussed his book, Living Buddha, Living Christ. Our renewal theme at that time was belonging, boundaries, and balance, and the book was a good choice to explore beyond our usual boundaries. Our renewal theme this year was rest, reconsider, and reconnect. And as I mentioned earlier, we read and discussed Dancing in the Darkness, Spiritual Lessons for Thriving in Turbulent Times by Otis Moss III, along with The Art of Living by Thich Nhat Hanh. There were around a dozen of us in the study of The Art of Living. I struggled in several places as I attempted to understand the depths of what the author was saying, and I don't think I was the only one. But together, over our four-week study, we considered at least the direction in which Thich Nhat Hanh was pointing. The umbrella theme and practice was mindfulness, to be as fully present as we can be. This really hit home for me because much too often my thoughts are what's coming up in my future, what kind of plans need to be made, and how do I get there, wherever there is, to succeed. Or I'm looking back, remembering an event or accomplishment, or sometimes beating myself up for making a mistake. But I'm not telling you these things to try to get you to buy the book. Rather, it's an example of what can happen almost magically when we come together and are truly with each other. It is rare for me to feel so fully engaged, so present as we were in our discussion and stories and questions. We prayed, laughed, and even shed a few tears as we shared what we were thinking and where we are in our journey. We were there, and we belonged. How can we replicate this kind of experience, this joyfully being with each other? Do we do it by having the right theme, the right draw, like Thich Nhat Hanh's book was for our small gathering? Do we offer yummy cookies and good coffee? Do we take part in such an experience by inviting only those who are like-minded so we don't have disagreements? Or do we stay on guard and self-censor what we say so that we might keep the peace? Or do these things miss the point entirely? From Matthew 5, as we read earlier, the crowd followed Jesus up the mountainside. They listened as he blessed them with the Beatitudes. They listened as he described them as the salt of the earth, as salt was used for healing and preserving in that day. They listened as he told them they were the light of the world. They were there, mindful of all that he said. They were fully present. May we be mindful, present with our full selves as we worship, learn, and live each day. May we celebrate God's blessings and presence with us. Amen.